Where we're going to be today. We are taking a break from our studies in Luke to just kind of touch on some Advent topics. Last week it was hope. Today the topic is peace. And we're going to look at a text of scripture this morning, Romans chapter 5, the opening verses, that actually kind of lines up with one of the Christmas traditions you may have. I know I can't remember a Christmas that Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol didn't somehow get touched. I mean, maybe it was, you know, Mickey and Minnie and Goofy. Maybe it was, I think last year some of us went to a play over at the Bradley and saw it. Maybe it was some other production of A Christmas Carol. But you remember the story, right? Ebenezer Scrooge, like cranky miser banker guy, you know, bah humbug, that's where we get that, right? Bah humbug. And then on Christmas Eve, he experiences in a dream visitations by the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas yet to come. And in those encounters, he goes from being mean and miserly to being, you know, generous and loving people and stuff, and that's what the story's about. The text we're going to look at actually speaks to the relationship between Christmas past, when Jesus came, Christmas present, which is our life in Christ today and every day, and Christmas future, when Jesus will return. It actually speaks to those three things. See, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there are these three powerful realities of the Jesus who came and what he did, the Jesus who is in this room right now and in our lives, and the Jesus who will come. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. So without further ado, Romans chapter 5. Would you stand as we read? Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, Lord, I ask for your help right now as I speak, that my words might be used by you and your Spirit to take these words we just read, which are your words, and bring them to life in every heart that's in this room right now. And Lord, I know I'm not up to it. And so I ask that you would do the work of enlightening us by your word and teaching us and making us new and different and changing us this morning. We want to be more like Jesus. And we know that by your word and by your Spirit, you can do that. And so I ask for that now in his matchless name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, so I don't know if you heard it, but there are some past tense things, like therefore, since we have been justified, or through him we have also obtained access by faith. Those are past tense. And then we read present tense things. We have peace with God. We are in this present grace in which we stand. And then there is also before us the future hope, the hope of glory, which is to come when Jesus returns and thereafter. One way that we can kind of get at this, and I've used this illustration before, I like it a lot because it just makes sense to me and maybe it makes sense to you, is to imagine a rope bridge. Now, when I think about rope bridges, I think about maybe a couple I've gone across, and they're a little rickety and kind of fun. But the one that is most vivid in my mind is from like some rainy Saturday afternoon when I was about 7 or 8 watching like a black and white movie on like a little TV screen with my brother. And it was a Tarzan movie. Anybody remember Tarzan movies? Amen. Okay, so like with Johnny Weissmuller, right, like the Olympic swimmer, and he's playing Tarzan, and there's like Jane and Boy and that chimpanzee, right? And you know, the way those stories developed, right, is he's like a jungle guy, And they're always like bad guys. So bad guys are like either cannibals or Nazis, right? And the bad guys are like chasing the good guys. And the scene I imagine is like the good guys are running and the bad guys are behind them. And they get to like this gorge, right? They get to the edge of this big cliff and go, oh no. And then they look down and there's like a river down there and there's only one way across. And it's this rickety rope bridge, right? And then they get on the rope bridge and of course the Hollywood people, they want to make that real dramatic. And so they do, you know, with like boards that break when they step on them and crocodiles snapping down below. And eventually they get to the other side where there is safety after a lot of peril. This is actually a picture of us and Jesus. Where Jesus, when he comes the first time, basically pounds the stakes in the ground and establishes the anchor in bad guy land of the rope bridge. And then our life in Christ begins when by faith we step onto that bridge that he takes us across the chasm. And on the other side is the hope of glory, a new kingdom that God's going to make. And this is actually just a picture of our Christian reality, right? It's like we're in bad guy land, being chased by bad guys, actually being bad guys and bad gals. And we get to that precipice, and then we have the choice to choose to walk on the bridge he's created for us to the other side. Christmas past is the anchor he established when he came and made it possible for us to get across the chasm. That's Jesus' first coming. And it's captured here. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, and there are two things about Jesus' coming that are described here. Having been justified, that's the first one. And then in verse 2, through him we have also obtained access. Obtaining access. Let's talk about these. To be justified, basically, is what happens, like if you do something wrong, or maybe you get accused of doing something wrong, and then you end up like being in court in a justice system. And then the judge tries to establish if you're innocent or guilty. And then when the judge makes a declaration, justice has been done. And if you are declared not guilty, you have been justified. You know, so there you are, you're in court. Maybe the jury comes out and the foreman of the jury says, you know, reads the verdict, you know, not guilty. And then when the judge bangs the gavel down, I need a gavel up here for this. You know, bangs the gavel down. Oh, this is louder up here? That's better. Okay. So the judge bangs a gavel, and you're not guilty, and the judge says you're free to go. Jesus accomplished that for us when he came the first time. See, he comes, he's born of a virgin. The prophet said that he would be born of a virgin, and that he would have that name Emmanuel, right? Isaiah chapter 7. And that name Emmanuel means God with us, so he comes to earth, he's God with us. He lives a perfect life with absolutely no sin. And because he has no sin, he is able to take our penalty for the stuff we did. Now, here's an important reality, right? We all look, I'm looking at mostly familiar faces out here, so we kind of all get this, right? Is 100% of us, right, are like messed up. Amen? Okay, good, okay. So, you know, we have all done things that have been an offense to God. We have all done things that God said we shouldn't do. We have all not done things God would want us to do. And just in this, the reality of our human existence, our shortcomings and our frailties, puts us all in the circumstance of being guilty. And if we were to stand before a just God, he would bring the gavel down and you'd be guilty. Well, what Jesus did when he came, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but it's important for me to hear this over and over and over again, is God loves us so much that he sent his son, that at the end of a perfect life, he could die. Oh, by the way, a little detail is very important, right? Is that God's penalty for any and all sin is death. And by the way, the people in the world around us say, I don't buy any of that stuff about sin. Say, okay, yeah, check it out. Death rate, 1 out of 1. Okay, it is true. Everybody dies and everybody sins. And so Jesus, who has no sin, he dies on a cross, and that death, because he is God and because he is perfect, is adequate to pay Jim's penalty and Johanna's penalty and even my penalty, able to pay our penalty. And so that's what he did, and it made it possible for us to be justified. We good with that? We understand that? The other thing he did is he allowed us to obtain access. See, because God's a holy God, and he is so holy that he cannot abide evil, and kind of by definition, human sinners are evil, so we like can't hang out with God. We can't hang out with God and have intimacy with him in this life because the offenses we do separate us from God because of our impurity. He didn't want anything to do with that, except he loves us so much. That's why he sent Jesus, because he wants us to be able to be with him. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve mess up the first time, when they sin, his response is to throw them out of the garden. Sin separates. When we do anything that offends God, we are separated from God. But when Jesus died on the cross, this incredible thing happened. This great swap occurred, where Jesus, who is righteous because he is the Son of God, goes to the cross, and on the cross, he takes our sin and swaps it for his righteousness. And so if you have put your trust and faith in Jesus, more on that in a second, then you have been made righteous like Jesus in the sight of God. And so you now have access to God. It is only people that have put their trust in Jesus that can call themselves children of God. John 1:12. And you can go, like now, sit on Dad's lap. You can come to him in prayer today, and then in the by and by, you can be in his presence in glory only because of what Jesus did. He obtained access for us. That's Christmas past. That's what we celebrate. That's why we, you know, we sing like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, like on that night when he was born. That's why we sing O Little Town of Bethlehem as he fulfills that prophecy that's where he'd be born, because that's where it really happened. That's why we sing Joy to the World and then give the invitation we sang, O Come All Ye Faithful, and we talk about that happy morning. We sang that this morning already, is because he really came, and in that life that he brought to earth, he made it possible for us to be not guilty and have access with God. That's the anchor to the rope bridge. See, because you're not going to be welcome on the other side unless you're justified and have access to God. So now here you are at the rope bridge. It's like, okay, time to go. Bad guys are chasing me. Now I have a choice to make. Do I trust the rope bridge, or do I try to like climb down the big cliff and swim the river? By the way, in the Tarzan movie, I think they use the same clip in every adventure movie involving rivers, but at the time you get to the gorge, you look down at the river, then suddenly you're down at river level, and you see like these like 14-foot crocodiles like slithering into the water and starting to swim, right? And then in some of them, Johnny Weissmuller's swimming in the river and wrestling the alligators. In this one, right, you're on the rope bridge, you go, I don't want to fall because they're gators. And oh, wait, they're sharp rocks too, right? So not like, am I going to trust that what Jesus did for me on the cross is adequate for me to go across the river? That's faith. Verse 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. See, he paid the penalty, but you're actually not justified until you decide you accept that. It's kind of like if the judge banged the gavel and said, not guilty, you're free to go, and you said, I'm good, I'll go back to prison. No, you have to choose to go, right? You have to choose to respond to the good news of Jesus. And so that starts our life in Christ. And it's all based on Christmas past that we celebrate 2,000 years ago. Jesus came. Now, I love the way that we sang this morning, Lead Me to the Cross, right? Because he came and we celebrate his birth, but the real event is when he dies for our sins. He didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead. And then we enter into this relationship with him, and now we start across the rope bridge. Going across, by the way, just something I wrote in my notes here, I want to make sure I said to you. By the way, some people, they get to the cliff and they go, there's got to be a better bridge. There's some other way, right? But Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You got to go across his rope bridge. Now, here's the good news. When you go across the rope bridge, by the way, rope bridges are like scary, right? They mean just, okay, Tarzan. Am I right? It was a Tarzan movie. Anybody remember the movie? Remember the scene or the image of the rope bridge? And you know, right? It's like the bad guys are back there, and I don't know, they're like, I don't know if they're Nazis or shooting, and if they're cannibals, I can't remember which, or like there's spears and arrows coming. And you get on the rope bridge and it's like all rickety and like the wind is blowing and it's swaying. And then like one of the good guys like steps on a board and whoosh, their foot goes through and they're like hanging by a thread. And the crocodiles are down there snapping. And it's like the rope bridge is so scary. If you're visiting with us and you're hearing this Jesus stuff for the first time, you know, if I were to tell you that if you come to Christ and start on the rope bridge, it's going to be like like just kind of a glide over like a superhighway bridge. No. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. See, the rope bridge is scary. This is such a great picture of our Christian life, right? It's like we're there and it's like, whoa. Well, where did that come from? I worked hard to get this promotion and that other doofus at work got promoted ahead of me. I've been eating right. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I've been living right. How could I have this diagnosis? You're here to serve me divorce papers? Are you kidding me? Right? The rope bridge is scary. But what this text tells us is that since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. You do know that when people choose to do things that are contrary to God, which we all have done since birth, when we first started out in life. By the way, if you think little kids are innocent, you haven't been around little kids lately. Okay? They have such a dark little heart, you know? Yeah. Junior, don't put that in the electric socket. Psst, right? They're just so rebellious. But you know when we do that, right, we set ourselves at war with the God of the universe. And every time I think about this is like the dumbest thing ever, right? You know, a God who created all things, a God who knows the future, a God who is in control of your life, the God who basically, you know, he wove the ropes on the bridge together and he's responsible for the integrity of the boards, and you basically say, put them up. This is, by the way, the majority of humans, that's how they respond to God. So I don't need you, I don't like you, I don't want you. The stuff that you tell me, I don't believe. You know, you don't love me, you're just trying to control me. That's how people respond to God. It is the dumbest thing ever to be at war with God. Because, I mean, just if you're like an odds maker, you're looking like, you know, like they do like with an NFL game or something, and say, I'm looking at this team, I'm looking at this team, and I'm saying, you know, this team seems to be playing a little better, so I'm going to put my money on this team. Okay, so now you got like these little pipsqueak humans that don't know anything. They're all like angry and selfish and stuff, and say they're going to pit themselves against a perfect and holy God. Who's going to win? God, right? So it's dumb to put yourself against God, but people do it, and we all have. But because we have been justified by faith, we now have peace with God. So when we go across the turbulence and the turmoil of the rope bridge, I was going to say, like, we can take God by the hand, but that's not how it works. He takes us by the hand. In fact, he doesn't necessarily take us by the hand. Sometimes he just takes us like by our waistband back here, right? So now I'm out on the rope bridge. I got to be careful. I give myself a wedgie. But we're out of the rope bridge, right? And then we stumble and fall, and all of a sudden, whoop, God's got me, right? And even if the rope bridge fell into the chasm, he still got me. And there I am hanging by my waistband like Superman out there going, this is awesome, God. If you have peace with God, he is with you every step of the way. And now what you're doing is aligned with his good will and purpose. And you know what that does? Is when your life is lined up with his good and will and purpose, the things that make the rope bridge turbulent, they diminish. Because there's the only thing that's making it turbulent. It's basically the work of the enemy and the dumb stuff that you're doing. And the dumb stuff you're doing, the second thing in the text here addresses that. It says, since we've been justified by God, we have peace with God. Then verse 2, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. See, in the turbulence of life, it's coming from external and internal sources. When it comes to the internal stuff, we have the grace of God. What grace is unmerited favor. You know, when we're justified, right, we get a pass on the death penalty. That's called mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, which is blessings unimaginable. And that's what we have in this life going across the rope bridge. This idea that through him we've also obtained access by faith, it's like before we have Jesus, we're like stumbling around in the darkness. When we come to Jesus, part of the grace we get is, instead of darkness, light. So we can see. Light's good. Light brings life. Instead of being like there where the bad guys are all around and about, he brings us inside the stockade of his safety. Instead of being like, I know, sleeping on the ground or in a mud hovel someplace, he welcomes us into the palace. And instead of foraging for nuts and berries and eating grubs, he brings us to the banquet table. And but I don't know how cold it was at your house, right? We compete on that, don't we? As the Yankees, you know, this morning you saw the temperature. I had 5 on my car thermometer, which I don't trust, by the way. But it was like 7 or something at my house. It's cold this morning, right? Well, about 3 o'clock this morning, I woke up and it was just a little shivery. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go take a look at that wood stove. And it had burned down. And I loaded that baby up and I opened up the damper a little bit. And then 2 hours later, when the alarm went off, I look at the thermometer and it says like 7 on the outside. It's like 73 in the living room. The grace in which we stand is like that. You know, like we're, instead of being out in the cold, he brings us in to where there's feasting and celebration and it's warm and it's cozy and there is love. Now we're talking about our Christian life, right? That's available to you and me today in the turbulence of life. And there's one other thing that's here, which is, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but this text uses the word sufferings. So, you know, who needs that? But what's laid out here is that our difficulties in this life, the buffeting of the rope bridge, is all directed and purposeful. See, because we rejoice in our suffering, it says. Like, who does that? Christians get to. That's what we understand, that every difficulty we have is accomplishing a purpose that is moving us across to glory. See, it says we rejoice in our sufferings because the suffering produces endurance. The suffering produces endurance. You know, if you're going to run a marathon, anybody want to run a marathon tomorrow? Anybody like feel like deciding? No, right? Well, how about like maybe next fall sometime? Say, well, I might sign up for that, right? If I were younger and my right Achilles like worked, you know, I might sign up for that because I know I could train, right? And every time you get up early in the morning, go for a run and come in and say, that hurt. I don't want to do that again. However, you do that for a while. Pretty soon you can run a long ways and you can run fast. See, because the difficulty, the pain of it builds endurance. When we experience bad stuff as Christians, every time it happens, God is doing something to show us that he is with us, that he's got us by our waistband, that we have all of the abundance of his blessings so that the next time it happens, I go, you know what? I am like just getting closer and closer to glory and it's getting better because that endurance, it says, produces character. When we endure in the Lord, when we experience him, when we experience his goodness in our lives, you know what happens? He rubs off on us. And our character begins to align with his character. And when we see that happen in our lives and in the lives of people around us, then we're able to see that this thing he's taken us to is like real. His goodness and his power and his character is such that when he promised us he's going to make everything perfect, we can buy that. Let me say amen to that. Yeah, we can buy that, right? And so let me come back to the text for a second. It says endurance produces character. Character produces what? Hope, right? Now we're talking about Christmas future. But before we go there, it says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, we have evidence right now in this room. Every single one of us, we have evidence that this is like real, that this future that he has for us, and it's in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is in us. And the first place we experience it is a place of love. I know I'm looking at faces out here right now that when that moment when they heard the good news of Jesus at that point in life where they were ready for it, the first sensation they had was they felt overwhelming love. And we experience that. We experience it in the love we have here in the body of Christ. We experience it in our love for him. And the presence of the Holy Spirit also shows up in terms of these incredible gifts that he gives us. And he gives us differently those gifts. I think of the ones in Romans. Let's see if I can remember them. But, you know, gifts to lead or to speak prophetically. Gifts to teach. Gifts to be merciful. To encourage. To give. Hospitality's not in Romans, sorry. It's a good attempt, though. Nope, that's not there either. Okay, anyway, so I should have had the verse out, okay? But he gives each of us these different things, and then we get to see them like happen. And we get to see the reality that the Spirit of God is at work in the body of Christ. As we see people that, you know, that have a gift of service serving, and somebody that has maybe a gift of giving, they see somebody with a gift of mercy do something and go, wow, where did that come from? And it's the ministry of the Spirit of God in our midst as we together go across a rickety rope bridge. And we rejoice in it because it's evidence it's real. And that other side over there, like, you know, here come the bad guys, cannibals, Nazis, you know, whatever your favorite bad guys are. The Nazi piece, though, I think had a lot to do with when the Tarzan movies were made, okay? But the idea of generic bad guys are like chasing you, you're going across the rope bridge. You know what God's plan is when you get to the other side? You can cut the ropes. See, because the picture on the other side is that all of the sources and effects of evil are gone. And so when we get to glory, we're not just safe and sound. It's not just that the bad guys have been defeated, but there is no possibility of evil rising again. And so all of the things that we experience, the pain, the sorrow, the sicknesses, the broken relationships, the selfishness, the abuse, the warfare, all of that, absolutely wiped clean and replaced with a new heaven and a new earth, and a reality of peace unimaginable. See, it says, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God today so we can relate to Him closely. We have peace within us so we can relate to one another. And we have peace within ourselves so we can be okay with ourselves. But when we get to that ultimate destination, there will be a peace. It's characterized by a Hebrew word, shalom. You've heard that word. And it's a peace that is of fulfillment. It is a peace of being surrounded by love. It is a peace that is completely free from want or need or anxiety or fear, because everything has been made right. That's the hope of glory. That's Christmas yet to come, because that's going to be ushered in. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but God's going to give the commands that time's up now. And the trumpet's going to sound, and the archangel is going to call out, and Jesus is going to descend, and the dead are going to rise. In hours, minutes after that, God's going to say, behold, I make all things new. And it's going to be glorious, and it's ours. That's the Christmas yet to come. So let me come back to Christmas, okay? This Christmas, let's make sure that what Jesus did the first time is ours. And you do that by putting your trust in Him. And like I said, I'm looking at this room going, I'm preaching to the choir mostly here, I think, pretty much. But you know, there are a lot of people around us that don't know that story. There are a lot of people around us whose hearts have not been opened. And there's so many opportunities for us this season to like mix it up with people that are far away from God. Don't let those opportunities go by, that they might be introduced to the idea that a Jesus made it possible for them to escape bad guy land and go to glory. And when it comes to our lives today, if you're being buffeted, it's part of the rope bridge experience, isn't it? But know that whatever's going on in your life, that you have peace with God. He's got you by the hand or by the waistband, however you want to picture that. He's got you. And it's like that. It's like the poster with the footsteps on the sand, right? Like He's carrying you. And you have grace for every day. Our grace is, the grace we receive is new every morning. It's so wonderful that, I mean, if you did something stupid yesterday, tomorrow morning, or even right at this moment, you just give it to Him and you receive not just mercy, but you receive His abundant provision and pleasure. That's what we have. And that whatever's going on in your life that might be stinky right now, know that it is purpose directed to make you stronger, to make you more assured of how real He is, to increase your hope, and to touch the people around you by pointing them to Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You so much for Your word this morning. And Lord, You're just an amazing God. Thank You for securing us by sending Your Son, by His perfect life, by His blood shed for us. that we might be not guilty before you, and that we might be able to come into your presence clothed in the righteous robes of Christ. What a wonderful God you are. We thank you so much for Jesus and for his work the first time he came. May we celebrate Christmas in the delight of that. But also, or may we take a hold of the fact that Jesus is here with us right now, and that he's walking with us, he's carrying us, he's guiding us, he's leading us, he's protecting us, and he's developing us. He's with us. He said, I will be with you until the end of the age, and he's with us right now. And Lord, would you remind us often of the hope of glory? That the eternal things are magnificent and wonderful and so much more alive than we are today. What we have to look forward to is incredibly beautiful. Fill us with hope. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.